500 million internet users in China, half a billion people, were blocked from getting online for nearly 8 hours on Tuesday. That's after China's vast censorship network apparently accidentally routed the country's traffic to an address in Wyoming whose servers failed in a millisecond. It may have been the biggest crash in internet history. With us now to spell out the details is Nicole Perlroth, who's been covering the story for the New York Times. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
And before we get into the specifics of what happened this week, could you explain for those who aren't familiar with China's so-called Great Firewall, what it is and what it blocks?
Sure. So a firewall, you can just think of a firewall as anything that keeps something from going in and out of an organization. Companies buy firewall software. In China, what we typically refer to as the Great Firewall means many things. It means both their censoring technology. It also means their human sensors that decide which websites people inside China can access and which they cannot.
And of course, we've seen many cases in which there, by which I assume you mean the government, blocks many things, Facebook, Twitter, the New York Times website for a while.
That's right.
Now, in this case, that sweeping system of sensors and snooping technology seems to have backfired in a sense. So what exactly happened this week as far as tech analysts can tell?
It's a fairly intricate story, but starting early Tuesday, we were hearing reports that people inside China were not able to access popular websites, or website speeds were loading very slowly. Companies like Baidu, which is China's version of Google, or Sina, their version of Twitter, were inaccessible. In some regions, the internet was really inaccessible for as much as 8 hours. So technologists are saying this is something that they think may have affected China's entire 500 million large internet population. When I started digging into what was happening, I saw that much of the traffic was being redirected to a select few IP addresses. One of those IP addresses, and an IP address is just any address that any sort of device has that can connect to the internet, such as your laptop or your desktop computer, or even a smart device in your home that might connect to the internet would have its own IP address.
Sure.
But the IP address in this case was registered to a company I had never heard of, and I don't think many people had until this week, called Sofidia. And when I dug into what this Sofidia was, it looked to have a physical address in Wyoming. And when I looked at that physical address, it had been the subject of a lengthy 2011 investigation by Reuters into some shell companies in Wyoming. And so that was really just the physical address of this company. But
so maybe just like a mailing address to function as sort of a legal
that's
shell.
Right,
okay.
Exactly. But their servers are located all over the world. We don't know where. But basically what happened was all of this internet traffic in China was redirected to the servers that support this one IP address. And so you could think of it almost like the biggest denial of service attack of all time. You know, in denial of service attacks, hackers flood a banking website with traffic until it just crashes under the load. And in essence, it's sort of strange to imagine all of China's internet traffic being directed at this one IP address.
And Nicole, you just mentioned hackers. Is there any chance that that's who's behind this?
I don't think so. The experts I spoke with have said only really China's firewall has this capability. And like I said, if this was the work of hackers, this would be by far the biggest attack of all time. What technology experts think may have happened is that instead of blocking these websites, China may have accidentally fired all its traffic at these various IP addresses.
And in terms of the impact of that disruption, I mean, clearly an inconvenience for people who are on social media, but also business disruption. I mean, do you have a sense of what the consequences were in China for people who couldn't get online, particularly businesses, for 8 hours?
Well, just think about what if this happened here in the U.S.? What if we couldn't access Google for 8 hours? Or what if I couldn't get on any of the systems that support the New York Times or Twitter or Facebook, which are probably not great examples because
we can live without those, probably.
China, yeah. Right, right. But when you think about the fact that we're so dependent on the internet for things like online banking and getting our email and our day-to-day news, it's pretty amazing that none of these things were accessible for such a long period of time.
Do you have any sense of whether an incident like this could persuade China to relax its firewalls, if only to prevent another domestic crash like this?
I have no idea, and I feel like I would be a fool to speculate on what's happening inside
sure.
the offices at the Communist Party. But I do think that it draws a lot of attention to this topic, and so I haven't seen much of it, but it would be interesting to see what sort of debates are happening in China right now.
So even if China, let's say, were to stay vigilant with its internet firewall, can tech-savvy people usually find ways around it anyway?
There are ways around it. If you are an employee at, say, a government contractor or even here at the New York Times, we try to secure our connections with something called a VPN. People might be familiar with VPNs by key fobs they see people use that have sort of a numerical code on them that they use as an additional password. And when you enter that into your computer, what you're essentially doing is creating sort of a private tunnel between you and your corporate network. People in China have used VPN technology to evade the Great Firewall, although China censors have tried to block VPN technology in the past.
That's Nicole Perl-Roth. She covers privacy and cybersecurity for the New York Times and for its Bits blog. Nicole, thanks very much.
Thanks so much.
And if you have any thoughts or comments about the show, please tell us. Go to hereandnow.org. You can click on Contact Us to send an email. You can also scroll down and leave comments on stories. Also join us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Click the like button and we'll keep you in the loop about upcoming guests and stories. Lots of ways we really want to know what you think. Give us any feedback you can. You are listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.